Good morning, library goddesses and all those above. I am Michael. Please call me Michael. I am a children's book illustrator who travels the planet going to different schools and public libraries and showing students that they have a talent they probably didn't know they had. My first book is The Library Dragon. Anybody here familiar with this book?
Yeah,
very good. This book kind of changed the way my art, it kind of went into a different direction. This book is written by Carmen Agrodidi, and if you've ever heard Carmen tell stories, then you know how lucky I am to get to do her books. She is by far one of the most amazing storytellers I've ever heard in my life. A great storyteller, you know, can take you to different places. TV and movies have nothing on a great story. I'll tell you in a little while how I met Carmen. It's kind of one of those tales you're not going to believe. It's one of those twists of fate. But that is me 20 years ago. They actually got a little cute picture of me right there. I will pass this around. This book has actually kind of gone wild. It's become a play. It's become a doll. I love the doll. It took about 10 years for the doll to come out. I am going to draw for you today, too. And if you like to laugh, I'm one of the few artists that if you laugh at my artwork, it's actually a compliment. So please feel free to laugh away. In the book Library Dragon, they hire a librarian who happens to be a dragon. She won't let kids read books. She thinks she's there to guard the books. She doesn't want any gooey fingerprints or any bent corners or anything like that. So what she does is kids start to dread library day. They're like, oh, I'm not going to the library today. And they keep coming back singed. Kind of wild like that. A little girl named Molly Brickmeyer happens to wander into the school. And this little girl has lost her glasses. She starts to look for her glasses and finds a book. Starts to read that book. And all over the playground and everywhere in the school, word is being told, hey, they're reading a story. Come on in. Somebody's reading a story. So they come in, and the dragon takes that book away from her and tells her, you know what? She says, give me that book, and starts to read it. Notices that nothing's happened to the book. There's no bent corners. There's no fingerprints. And with that, a clickety-clack happens, and Miss Lotta Scales, that's her name, Lotta Scales. I didn't name her. Carmen did. With the name Lotta Scales, the little girl sitting on her lap, all of her scales fall off, and underneath the dragon is a library goddess. Sitting on a mountain of purple and yellow scales, and the whole library's changed. It's now turned into a great place where they appreciate books and they're all happy. But you know what? She keeps her tail, because every librarian has to be a little bit of a dragon. Who else is going to guard the books? You can pass that. Oh, thank you. I'll go ahead and tell you, I have been drawing for 45 years. That book right there changed everything in my art. I was doing an art show. I was in downtown Atlanta, 30,000 people. This is 1989. That author happens to be there with her three little girls. I didn't know her at all. She was there with the three little girls. It was Mother's Day, and they had bought her a pair of peacock earrings. Her earring fell off, got kicked down the street, and rolled into my art tent, and I became a children's book illustrator. A famous author saw who was already established, saw my artwork, and took me to the publisher and said, oh, I'm Carmen Didi, and I've been looking for somebody to do Library Dragon for 10 years now. How would you like to come to my publisher on Monday morning? And I said, well, Carmen Didi, I've been waiting for you all my life. And she took me to the publisher, and that's how I got my first book. That book, as you pass it around, it took about 2.5 years to do that book. I've done 3 books. I'm working on my own book. I'm also doing that. And I'm doing Library Dragon 2, The Tale Continues. Miss Lotta Scales retires/returns. Now, I took the liberty of doing some drawing. I'm going to draw for you today. First thing I did, when I came in last night, I didn't know, this is Catch the Reading Bug. I realize you are doing a outer space theme this summer for Tennessee libraries. And I have done so many things from outer space, you would not believe. I actually did a pig from outer space. He was called Flying Sausage. He landed in Vienna and he actually came here to see his sister Sausage Patty. She was hanging out with Kevin Bacon. And his brother Jimmy Dean showed up. His mom made him go down to the... He actually stayed in bed too long. It was called Pig in a Blanket. The reason I'm doing that, there are 32 pages in a picture book. When I go to schools or libraries, I like to show students of all ages that there are 32 pages. And if we come up with 32 ideas for a little pig like that or a cow, we're not just artists. We are writers. I show them how to write their own stories. My program is called The Start of Something Big. And I have more funny things for you. If you like to laugh, you're really going to like this. When that pig went down to the piggy bank, he took his little brother bacon bits. I figured I'd just start it off with this. This is probably one of the silliest ideas I've come up with, but I'm going to leave these behind for you today. This is a branch library. I will leave a branch library behind. I did a reading bug. Well, let's see what else I have here. I did, for those of you that love coffee, I'm a coffee fanatic. I go to, that's Starbucks. It's a deal with a cup of coffee. His brother's cappuccino and his little sister's latte. I did this last night. Just to tell you, I was a chef's assistant for 15 years. I have a really wild story. I cooked for three very well-known chefs in Georgia. During the day I cooked, and at night I would paint. And I started thinking, you know what, we eat some pretty weird stuff. What if I took things we'd never eat and turned them into food paintings? Long before I got my first book, I actually took these into art galleries, and I got my first gallery. I love to tell students the story of persistence. I got turned down by 100 art galleries. True story. I got turned down by 100 art galleries before I got my first gallery in 1980. A gallery saw my funny stuff, Sidewalk Studio, and they said, go home, bring me your food artwork. I can sell these till the cows come home. So Monday morning, I walked back in with a cow with a bunch of luggage called Cows Come Home. And then I started doing art shows. But along the way, my artwork's gotten sillier and sillier. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a burrito. There's 32 pages. If I was going to make a story out of this, I would throw in a duck. I would put in some guacamole. It's very, you know what? I actually took this and I put a cow on the side with a lemon. She was called a side of sour cream. I threw a deer in there. He was a case of deer. I took six monkeys and put them in there. They were chimps and salsa. If I keep going, we could just keep adding and adding. But you know what? When I was driving here yesterday, I love coming to Tennessee. I've been all over Tennessee from Nashville. I got to be in Murfreesboro for about a week and a half this year and draw with students. Huge honor to come all over Tennessee and Camden. I got to go to Camden. And on the way here, I thought of this. Since April 15th is coming along, that's a tax deduction. But then, if you're lucky like me, you have a very good accountant. Now, I've never drawn those before in my life. I've never drawn those two things. The prize for me each day is coming up with a brand new idea that I've never thought of before. A brand new idea, like I show students and librarians, library goddesses all over, a brand new idea can become a Winnie the Pooh. It can become a Cat in the Hat. A Horton Hears a Who. 20 years ago, here comes a book, and now it's a movie last weekend. These tiny sparks that we put on paper that you show students too can become something huge. They can become a writer by putting an idea on paper. And you do that for them too. I get to do it on paper. I've drawn so many cows. I almost got known as the cow artist for years. I did a cow on a surfboard called a cowabunga. His baby brother was the big cowhuna. And then I did this. I painted a cow from outer space called the Mu-F-O. She came from the Milky Way and landed in California. A cow, when it lands on your planet, she basically has one thing to say. Got milk? I did this. I've drawn tons of dogs. That is a Leonardo da Pucci. His baby brother is Michelangelo Pucci. And he's got a cousin named Salvador Doggy. When I was drawing dogs with students recently, once a new one from outer space, I did a dog from outer space. He was called Bark Vader. He had gone to the dark side, Bark Side. And his cousin was Luke Dogwalker. There's so many ideas out there. I was sitting at an intersection this season, and it's so funny how a small idea can become something. I looked to my left, and I realized I've been driving by thousands of these, and I've never thought of that before. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Applebee's. He's got a brother named Arby's and his little cousin Zaxby's. They all went to New York. They went to the big... You're right. When they got there, they saw their cousin Applesauce. He was actually in a bad mood. He was called Crab Apple. I've done so many bees. I did a bee that showed up for American Idol the other day with students. She was called Beyonce. And then a student looked at me and said, "Oh no, Celine Beyond." When you get that, all of a sudden, that's basically what I do for a publisher. They put me in a room with an author and they go, "We got a book about bees. What have you got in your head?" Well, they know I have chickens, cows, bees, and bears in my head. So I start putting these ideas on paper and they become a story. This is in honor of Memphis, one of my favorite artists on the planet. Happens to be Elvis. This is Chicken a la King. Oh, it's better than that. He's singing Love Me Tenders. His new hit CD, You Ain't Nothing But a Hot Wing. And when he left the building, they called him To Go. I was drawing this, and all of a sudden it's funny how when they put things in books, I'll have teachers look at me and go, "First grade's not getting this." They're flying right over their head. So many times I have to remind myself, when I read a book or do a book, it's written for students on our level. They put puns in these movies and these books that students wouldn't get from 6 miles away. And that's the books that I love are the ones that my five-year-old brings me that has something like that that's just so over the top. I was drawing this and I realized his manager was the colonel. If I was doing this in a story, I would put that in there in a heartbeat just because it works really good. I was doing a rocket. I figured I would do something from outer space, and I do tons of things from outer space. I will do this. I will put in so every day I take out paper and I put an idea down. I don't know if you saw Once Upon a Time. Did you Tennessee use Once Upon a Time? That was my cow and pig and things in there. That was a huge honor to get that poster for me. Since then, I've gotten the ALA poster last year. That was a huge honor, too. For meeting an author at an art show, you never know what's going to happen. I am going to put flying sausage. This pig came to Earth on Groundhog Day. This is one of my favorite ones to draw for teachers. I love it. I'll do it for media specialists now. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a polar bear in the snow. I call them barely visible. Always remember, I have two things that I leave behind with students all over. And I just did this in Greenville, South Carolina 2 days ago. I had the honor of going to Arizona for 2 weeks recently. I love to show them to sign their name, and they don't have to get it perfect. If you come to my breakout session today, you're going to draw with me, and I've got about 30,000 drawings rolling around my head. I will draw one for you right now. The biggest hurdle for most students to cross with art is they think they have to get it perfect. And I am so the opposite of that. I am just an artist who puts an idea on paper, and then I run with it. I'm going to draw a chicken. I'm going to take this chicken. I figured I'd do this one. I just did this one out west. I did a chicken who was a cowboy. He had a cowboy hat on. He was called Free Range Chicken. He was waiting for the bad guy to get off the train. He was called Chicken Fried Rice. And he brought along his sidekick, Rice-A-Roni. They came into town. They were looking for chicken nugget. He even brought along his dog, Honey Mustard. I'm going to feather this out. I show students texture and shadow. I painted a chicken from outer space. She was called a UFO. She was an unidentified flying object. And she landed in Kentucky. The first thing a chicken says when it lands on your planet, take me to your feeder. I'm going to put in a platter. You know, it really is a compliment when people laugh at my art. I love that part about what I get to do. Now, I had no idea that is actually what I would do. I actually thought, librarians, that I would do album covers. That's how old I am. I thought that I would do, because my art was kind of funny, but more medieval. And then I started doing art. I was doing an art show many, many years ago in Atlanta, and a person came into my art booth and saw I had two funny paintings. All the rest was something else, serious, a little bit more serious. And a gentleman walked in. He was probably 80. He looked at a painting, and he laughed his head off for about 5 minutes and looked at me and walked back out. We said hi. And a couple minutes later, an 8-year-old, 10-year-old little boy walked in my booth, looked at the same painting, and did the same thing. And I went, you know what? Humor in art, that is my talent. I need to take these ideas and put them on paper, because making people laugh is like medicine. I'm going to throw an ant on top of this chicken's head. A wild idea can come out of nowhere. What can one idea do? When you show middle school students that their ideas are like this, they just absolutely go over the top. It's amazing. We were never supposed to see Winnie the Pooh. You probably know this. Winnie the Pooh was written by A.A. Milne as a gift for his child. And if you look at that and go, what do you mean we weren't supposed to see that? I've traveled from London all the way to Boston and all the way to Tennessee to tell you that if you give me an hour, I can find you something Winnie the Pooh in any town. That's how big one of these students' ideas might be. This is a chicken enchilada. Would you like to know where he got his recipes from? His great aunt. She was famous for her antipasta. The problem was, you had to wait there in anticipation. I'm going to sign my name. And the second thing I show people is that write your name, because you never know when a famous author is going to drop an earring at an art show and you become a children's book illustrator. These books are painted with airbrush, and I'm not going to take my airbrush out today. Wait, right now. I'm going to airbrush in my session over there. My second book is The Secret of Old Zeb. Now, if you've heard Carmen tell stories, she's done a number of different books with a number of different authors. I think this is Carmen Deedy's sleeper book. I think this is the book that she'll be known for many, many years from now, because it is about following your dreams. Big, big message in here. This guy, Old Zeb, makes ships and bottles, but secretly in his basement, he has made a ship bigger than the Titanic. So it's kind of like a ship in a bottle, ship in a basement. How's he going to get this out? One of my favorite parts of this book is that there was no word for a person who makes ships and bottles. So the publisher told me, you two go over there and figure out what a person who makes ships and bottles would be called. A couple days later, after talking, we came up with this. We had to break it down in different ways. But a person, it's a tongue twister, who makes ships and bottles is called an interbaticular micronautical encasement constructionologist. And in fine print it says, I make ships and bottles. Interbaticular micronautical encasement constructionologist, I will pass this around. There is a map around every color page in here, and the maps change from land to space. It took me 3 years to do this book from beginning sketches to end. I did over 500 sketches to make this book. And I'm the one that went into a meeting and said, let's put a map around every page that's color. And 3 years later, after sketching this, I went to a meeting and said, who said let's put a map around every page? And they reminded me that that was me. You can pass that around too if you like. I love Old Zeb because it's got a great message that with your talent, he shows this young lad that he has a talent too, and he doesn't think he has any, and he leaves him behind his most prized possession. I will not tell you what happens in that book, but I also did tons of research for that book. I went all over and learned about making ships and bottles. I saw incredible stuff along the way. His aunt's very famous in that book. There's a very cool aunt in that book. I'm going to draw another one. Is that okay if I draw another one?
Yeah.
I draw chickens, cows, bears, frogs, armadillos, dinosaurs, dragons. I did a disco dragon that showed up for Dancing with the Stars. She was called Disco Inferno. She was burning up the dance floor. Chickens, cows. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do this. I'm going to put in... I think this is one of the best ideas I've come up with. It's all about the idea as far as drawing, because that's really what sells. A publisher doesn't want you to get it perfect. They want to see the idea and watch it expand into something else. I'm going to draw a cow. I actually painted a cow who was a chef. They called him Roast Beef. His brother was Prime Rib. I'm going to turn that cow into a king right there. My publisher, Peachtree Publishers out of Atlanta, does something unheard of, too. They let me go in a room with my author and talk with her about books. Most librarians are very, very, and teachers are very surprised to find out. Most publishers would never, ever, ever, ever let an author and illustrator do that. They do not do that. The first time most authors see their book is the day it's finished, and they hand them a copy of it. Normally, an artist works with an art director, and an author works with an editor, and never the two shall meet. I love the fact that they let me work with my author hand in hand. I didn't know that till after Library Dragon was done. I was like, what? You don't get to talk to your author? Well, how do you do the book? It was absolutely amazing to me. I have all these funny things that happened to me out there, too, in my art journey. I was in a library in Gainesville, Florida, with the Friends of the Library for a week. And I was doing different programs around the city. And one evening I happened to be in their big downtown library and I was signing books. I had a stack of Library Dragon next to me about this big. And I was sitting there signing and I noticed this young lad come in and he walked by me and he had this real curious look on his face. He was really curious. And he walked by, went over, started looking at some books. And for the next 10 minutes I'd see him look from behind and look at me like that. And he was kind of, I didn't know what was going on, but I started to laugh a little bit. He kept looking at me. And then finally he walked over, and he stood right beside me. I was signing, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he went, I wouldn't do that if I was you. He said, I got in so much trouble for signing books for my librarian. He said, I'm just trying to give you a heads up. He said, I got grounded for like 2 weeks. I showed him my picture and I showed him that I was signing the book for different people and showed him that he could be an illustrator too. And he really got it. He said, oh, you're the person that did the book. But I love the fact that he thought I was actually going to get in trouble for it. He was trying to help me. I just drew a king or a prince with a royal scepter. His name is Burger King. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a whopper of an idea. He's got a little sister named Wendy's. His sister is Dairy Queen. And his brother lives out back. And he's rarely seen. I will sign my name once again. My third book is about having a really bad hair day. Raise your hand if you've ever had a bad hair day. You ever had a bad hair day before? Normally, a bad hair day gets better later in the day. But this little girl gets a curl, and her brother and sister try and fix her hair. It doesn't get better. When they try and fix her hair, they do all kinds of things. Half this book takes place outside. Half this book takes place inside. What nobody knows is, if you get this book in your library, you can show people this. This in this book is my dog right there. That's one of my dogs. That is my dog Moon frying up a bone in the kitchen. I call him Bon Appetit. Over here, the author found out, she's from Holston, Massachusetts. She found out that I was putting my dog in here, and she said, put my tabby cat in that book. I would love for you to put my cat. When you look at this page right here, it took about 200 hours to paint these two pages. Every piece is cut out and sprayed with an airbrush. And you may look at that. But once a book's out there, they won't let me change it. They're not going to let me go back a year later and go, oh, how do we take that idea and change it? I do about 500 sketches to make a 32-page book. I draw for 8 hours a day, and sometimes they turn into stories. I have written my first book, which is about a bunch of dogs going camping. They're called pup tents. They sit around the fire and become hot dogs. Later that evening, they become chili dogs. All the dogs, corn dog, slaw dog, and mustard dog, have a tale to tell except for Hush Puppy. Do I have time to do more? Can I do more?
You
don't. I got it. I'm also known for doing bears. I did a bear who was a pirate. He was called Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, you know what? He could swim down to the Johnny Depp. I'm going to put in a bear's face. I painted a bear in a bubble bath. They called him Shampoo. I've never thought about that. That would be great with barely visible. That is awesome. Give a round of applause for that. That was good. You know, that's what I love about this too. There are so many ideas out there. When students realize that their ideas are as valuable as like Winnie the Pooh like that, or that it's wild that an idea that is bizarre can become something that's a classic. A spider walks down the side of a barn, writes a word, humble pig, saves Wilbur's life on Zuckerman's farm, even gets a rat involved. It's a classic, classic tale. One of my favorites. Is it a wild idea? It's a wild idea. There was a day when that idea on a piece of paper looked strange. And now, you just say it to people and they're all Charlotte's Web. I actually did a spider on a laptop. She was called Surfing the Web. Her password was Webabunga. I did a bear who had a bottle of hot sauce. They called him Bearbecue. He studied under Chef Bear RD. Everything he did was barely cooked. I actually drew the three little bears. I did Bearbecue, Bearito, and his brother had a giant sandwich. They called him Hoagie Bear. He traveled by Subway. But I'm going to take this bear today, and this one is so cool. I actually painted this in my baby girl's room. This is in my baby girl's room in Atlanta. That's where I have an art studio. I'm going to take this bear, and I'm going to put in a tooth. Oh, you're getting it. That's it. It is a tooth berry. He shows up if you barely brush. Some people call him a molar bear. And he always brings along his little sister. Her name is Dental Floss. Toothberry and Flossie. Now that is just like Horton Hears a Who. An elephant sits on an egg on the end of a branch waiting for a bird to come back. It doesn't get any wilder than that. I always tell them, sign your name. And then here's what I really like to show students. I step away from my idea and I look at it and I tell them, you don't have to get it perfect the first time. The reason you don't is you're going to add something to it. And the more you add to it, the more it stops becoming an idea and starts becoming a story. I'm going to put in, instead of a magic wand, I'm going to put in a magic toothbrush. It's little ideas, little details that make a book a classic. I'm also going to take a crown. He had to go back and get a new crown. That's never fun. I know that's never fun. Actually, he lived in the Bermuda Triangle inside of a cavity. I love that they're letting me do Library Dragon 2. I've done over 1,000 sketches for Library Dragon 2. I will more than likely paint that this summer. I'm probably 3 drawings away from them to cutting me loose on this book. That is a huge day for me when they give me back my sketches, the 32 that are going to make the book, and they go home, paint it, turn this into a book. One of the things you will love for ALA, they've actually had me do a button, and it's the dragon. She is looking over the top of her glasses like this, and it says, "The bad girl of the book world is back." I can't wait to have that button. I can't wait to do that. I'm also known for drawing bugs. I drew a moose the other day who was a singer. She was Hannah Moose Tanner. My 5-year-old did not think that was funny. And by the way, I have heard that CD about 3,000 times. It's actually a good CD. I'm fortunate that it is a good CD. It's very catchy. You'll find yourself driving down the road singing Hannah Montana. It's very, very well produced. I'm going to put in a fly. If I threw in a fly with a ball, we'd have a fly ball. If I took a fly and put in a baseball bat, we could do a fly swatter. If I took this fly, who has a fly idea? Anybody want to throw one in there? You know what? Put a watch on them. Time flies. I'm going to do this today, though. Anybody have a fly idea out there? Sorry? Oh, very good. Very. Yeah, definitely. I librarians. That's all. You're writers for sure. I love that. Fly by night. I'm going to turn this fly into a chef, and I will do that by adding in a mustache. What I do is called visual communications. I'm not there, that's what my degree is in, I'm not there to read the book to a student in Canada, Library Dragon, so I have to make sure that the words match, the art matches the words. And I do that by doing tons of sketches. This is a chef. His name is French Flies. I just drew a chef by the name of French Flies. I did that. Does anybody have something they want me to draw? In my session, I'm going to draw a whole bunch of things. Lots of stuff. Anybody? An animal. Is there some animal that you... Cats? Oh, yeah, I got that. I did a cat that went fishing. He was called Catfish. And all he caught was piranha. You could probably sit there and come up with a better cat than I could in about 5 minutes. I'm going to do a cat like this, and I'll do that. It's actually one of my favorite cats. So by going home to my studio, when they give me a book about cats, I would sit there and I would walk back into a meeting a week later with a ton of cats, hopefully. If I walked in with some really good cat ideas, they don't have to be perfect, they can be as simple as this. If I walked back in with some good ones, they'd go, "Get him a contract, it's his book." If I walked back in with 2 or 3 cats, they'd go, "We'll call you next time." I have to prove myself like an actor would for a book. You know, when an actor gets a movie role, they don't just go, "Okay, here's your role, do it." They go, "Show me you can act this person, that you can do this." Anybody want to guess? Catnap. Very good. You know, the problem was he was dog tired. Catnap. Like that. I will sign my name. Perfect place to sign your name, right on the blanket.
Anybody else?
A bee.
A bee?
Oh, a bee. I'm known for bees. I did a bee who was a chef. He was called Honey Mustard. Actually, part of that's me, but I have a really great art director that kind of slips and slides my stuff in different corners like that. And I don't have to worry about type placement. They will give me back windows. I call them windows of where type's going to go. Because that's one of the things. You wouldn't want to put a bunch of kitchen utensils up right where a bunch of type's going to go. You've seen that in books before. And you go, well, why would they do that? I can't read it. So there's a lot of thought that goes into a book. That's a big part of it. And it start that part of it starts to take shape later in the book when they start to do design for it. At first, it's pretty much all sketch. Like I said, I'm very lucky to get to work with my author. I don't know if you've seen Martina the Cockroach. It's a Cuban folk tale. She just got Cuban Author of the U.S. for that book. She is absolutely amazing storyteller. Well deserved. And if you heard her tell stories, I heard her tell stories to me at a Waffle House when we were sitting there talking about Library Dragon. And I went and watched her tell at Barnes & Noble in Atlanta with 300 media specialists and parents. And my jaw hit the floor. I was like, oh, you were born to do this. She's like Garrison Keillor. That great storytelling is just like, it's so amazing when you hear somebody do it. Well, I can't speak for all publishers. I can speak a little bit for mine, Peachtree. And part of that, I think, is that it's a chain of command. There's a publisher, an art director, and an editor, an author, and an illustrator. And the information flows down like that. The problem is, when you're the author so many times, you know, a teacher, any mom, a storyteller, the stories are so close to our heart that it's hard to believe you could hand it off to somebody and they would take your story and make it come to life like that. But it's kind of a trade-off. As you gather a relationship with a publisher, they're more likely to listen to your ideas, maybe for the next book. But it's kind of like one of those things of going into a job the first day. You know, you kind of go with the flow. But that's what I've found is the logic.